It is a tradition in the Christian church to stand for the words of our King, so I please ask you to stand for the gospel. The gospel is Matthew chapter 20. Jesus said, "Indeed, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After agreeing to pay the workers a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. He also went out about the third hour and saw others standing unemployed in the marketplace. To these he said, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will give you whatever is right.' So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth and did the same thing. When he went out about the 11th hour, he found others standing unemployed. He said to them, 'Why have you stood here all day unemployed?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He told them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, starting with the last group and ending with the first.' When those who were hired around the 11th hour came, they each received a denarius. When those who were hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but they each received a denarius too. After they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'Those who were last worked 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have endured the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he answered one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not make an agreement with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. I want to give to the last one hired the same as I also gave to you. Can't I do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' In the same way, the last will be first, and the first last." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. It's not fair. She received a bigger piece of cake than I did. It's not fair. The ump called a strike on that last pitch, and when our pitcher pitched that same exact pitch, he called it a ball for their team. It's not fair. It's not fair. She received the promotion and the raise in that nice corner office overlooking beautiful downtown Indianapolis. Well, I'm stuck in middle management, and I work harder than she does. It's not fair. It's not fair that I'm stuck in quarantine at home, even though I was not 6 feet away from them for longer than 15 minutes. And here I am going to be at home for over 14 days. This is not fair. Why do we say things like that? It's not fair. Because I want everything to be equal distribution, right? Then it's fair. But then when it is equal distribution, then I say, well, no, it would be better if I just had a little more than everybody else. Then that's fair. And if I see somebody else that is prospering more than I do, then I say, well, that's not fair that God would bless them more than me because they do this, that, and the other thing, and I don't do those things. It's not fair. You know who isn't fair? Is God. God is not fair. At least that's what Jesus says in our story this morning, isn't it? Jesus tells this story, which was a situation that the disciples, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, anybody living in Palestine would understand this. This is the economy of somebody that lives in Palestine. It was harvest time, and it wasn't time to harvest the soybeans and the sugar beets and the corn. It was time to harvest the grapes from the vineyards. And that was hard work. And for that hard work, a vineyard owner would go into the marketplace because he knew that if he went there, he would find day laborers. These were guys that did not have a specific vocation or skill that they could work with their hands or their mind. And so they just worked day to day, paycheck to paycheck. And this landowner goes to the marketplace. Before the sun is even rising over the eastern horizon, he goes and he finds men there because they are looking for work. That's why they are there. And he says, "You guys, you come and work in my vineyard. I will pay you a denarius." And already we can see the generosity of this particular owner of this particular vineyard, that he would pay them a denarius. This was a day's wage. This is what the Roman soldier made. Now, a Roman soldier, that was not a prestigious occupation. But he still earned a denarius. And so this would put him up above the regular day laborer. This would put them above the beggar, and maybe even just a little bit above that Roman soldier. And so they go and work. The landowner goes back to the marketplace because this is a lot of work. At 9 a.m., these are the guys that maybe slept in a little bit. And then they go to the marketplace looking for work. So the landowner finds them. "You go work in my vineyard." Then he goes back at noon. These are the guys that really slept in. And he says, "You go and work in my vineyard." Then he goes back at 3 p.m. And he goes back at 5 p.m. And he says, "You go work in my vineyard. I need some help." And then an hour later, at 6 p.m., the whistle blows, quitting time. And the owner of this vineyard calls to his foreman and he says, "I want you to pay the guys that I hired last first." And so they get in line and they put their hands out and the foreman puts a denarius in their hands. And the guys that are at the back of the line who were hired first are looking and see this. And they're giving each other high fives and go, "This is awesome. We're going to get a bonus today because we worked all day. These guys only worked an hour." And they get to the front of the line and they hold out their hands, which by then were sweaty and there's dirt caked underneath their fingernails and there's blisters and calluses and their shirts are off and they're over their shoulders and they're just sweaty and just achy. And they hold out that grimy hand and the foreman places in their hand one denarius. And they look at the denarius, and they look at the foreman, and they look at each other, and they look back to him, and they can see the landowner, and they say, "What gives? These guys that only worked an hour, they don't even look dirty. They don't even look sweaty. Their backs and their shoulders and their legs and their feet aren't going to hurt tomorrow, but we who have borne the burden of the day and the heat of the sun, we should get more. This is not fair." We do this too, don't we? It's not fair. I am not paid nearly enough for what I do. And her over there, she barely does anything and she gets paid more than me. That's not fair. And I look at these people here, all this money that they make, how they just splurge on themselves. Man, nonprofits would be thanking me if I had that kind of wealth. Jesus is not necessarily talking about how God has blessed this one with wealth and how this person works from paycheck to paycheck. But what he is saying is that God is not fair when it comes to his grace. We could look at these people in this parable, the story that Jesus tells. Some people think that when Jesus talks about the people that are hired at the beginning of the day, he's talking about people like me, whose parents brought him to the baptismal font as a baby and sent him to Sunday school and a Christian day school and a Lutheran high school and a Lutheran college and even a Lutheran seminary, and he became a pastor. And he's been working in the vineyard his entire life. Some people think that. Other people think that the people that are hired last are like the thief on the cross. He just had like an hour to enjoy Jesus' kingdom here on this earth before he entered the paradise above. But the main point of this story is that God is not fair with his grace. Because I could look at that thief on the cross and say, well, he didn't work in the vineyard his whole life. He didn't have to endure the ridicule and the persecution that I've had to endure, that you've had to endure your life as a Christian. He didn't have to worry about making sure that he stood firm on the solid foundation of God's word his entire life. Making sure that his kids were in church, praying for them. He didn't have to worry about any of that stuff. Yet God is gracious to him. It's not fair. Didn't we see that with Jonah in our first reading today? You know why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh? Because that would be like God sending you or I to Tehran, Iran. If we went there, people would be happy if we were shot in the street and just bled out. Not just because we're Americans, but because we're Christians. Because we don't pledge allegiance to Allah. But Jonah didn't want to go to Assyria or to Nineveh because it's like Tehran. These people are enemies of God's people. They want to destroy the people of Israel. And not only that, they're godless, wicked people, and that's an understatement. I can't even begin to explain the things that they did because it's not appropriate for little ears. It's not appropriate for grown-up ears. And Jonah knew that if he went there, God would be gracious and possibly forgive these people and spare them from destruction. That's why Jonah didn't want to go, because he knew that God was gracious and that God is not fair. These people do not deserve it. The fact is, the moment that I think they don't deserve it, what I am doing is I am putting what I have done or what I haven't done as the basis for God's grace on me. Maybe like Jonah, we've done that, where we look at people who don't have the same skin color that we do, or maybe don't speak the same language that we do, or maybe they have a different culture, or maybe they've had a sketchy background. And we think, well, why should I talk to them about Jesus? What if God based his love for us on that attitude? Or maybe like the disciples did every once in a while, that we lift our heads up a little bit higher and we speak to someone who is just plain ignorant of the Bible. What if God based his love for us on that attitude? Or maybe we look at people in our lives and we say, I just don't have time to show love to them because of the way that they treat me. Well, what if God based his love for me on that attitude? I mean, seriously. When my time in the vineyard is done, and your time in the vineyard is done, and you go to the foreman, what are you going to say to him? Look at all the things that I've done in your vineyard, Lord. You put out the hand. What should God give us? What if God gave us what we deserved? Do you know what he says in the Bible? He says, the soul who sins is the one who will die. Doesn't say how many times you sin. Doesn't say if your sins are on public display for all to see, all over social media and the news. Doesn't say if they're private, like we confessed earlier in the service. Doesn't say if we lived our entire life full of debauchery and doing whatever we pleased, or if we lived our life in God's vineyard the whole time. He says the soul who sins is the one who will die. Death is what's fair for you and me. God's holy. He's just. We're sinful human beings. That's what we deserve. And like that thief on the cross who said to the other one crucified with him, we are getting what our deeds deserve. I remember when my family moved from northern Wisconsin to Milwaukee. I was in eighth grade. And it was at that time that there was all over the news, not just local news, but national news, about the serial killer who had lured 17 boys and men to his apartment in Milwaukee and murdered them and did horrible things to them. And I distinctly remember a grown-up saying, there is a special place in hell reserved for people like that. And we were moving to Milwaukee. And our friends thought we were crazy. There's serial killers there. Don't go there. But this man named Jeffrey Dahmer went to prison. And what he did in prison is that he called every single pastor in the area and asked them to come and talk to him. And every single pastor refused. I will not go and talk to you. Until Jeffrey Dahmer called this pastor named Roy Ratcliffe. And Pastor Ratcliffe said, I'd be happy to go to prison and talk to you, Jeffrey Dahmer, about Jesus. And through the power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit convicting his heart, Jeffrey Dahmer confessed his sin. And he went to the cross and he saw how great God's grace is for people like him. And he believed. And he was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, just as you and I are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then one day, Jeffrey Dahmer was doing his job. He was cleaning the bathrooms. And some other prisoners came and they beat him to death. And people said, well, he's getting what he deserves. I'm pretty sure that based on Pastor Ratcliffe's testimony, that Jeffrey Dahmer's mansion in heaven may be on the same street as yours and mine on those gold-paved streets of heaven. Because he is no different than me or you. The soul who sins is the one who will die. And we look at God and we say, well, that's not fair. Well, he's not fair to me either. Because I go to God just like Jeffrey Dahmer, just like Jonah, just like the Assyrians. I hope some of them are in heaven too. And just like the Apostle Paul, and I say, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to your cross I cling. We go to the cross and we see how unfair God is. That he takes this man who is his own son, who is innocent and perfect and righteous and holy in every possible way, and he makes him to be the guilty one. That's not fair. That he says, this is the one who has looked at other people and based on the color of their skin or the language that they use and their culture or their sketchy background said, I don't have time for them. I'm making him the guilty one. It's not fair. That God would say to him, you are the guilty one, that he says to you and me, you are innocent. You are not guilty. You are to go scot-free. And to say to you, you are forgiven because of my son Jesus. That's not fair. But this is what he has done for us. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us for you. God is unfair with his grace. Thank God that he is unfair with his grace. And it's unfair that he would call me, and then he would call you to go and work in his vineyard. And then he would say, I want you to go out into the marketplace and to find those who are standing idly by doing nothing. Doesn't matter what their skin color is or what language they speak or their background. Maybe it is a little bit sketchy. It really doesn't matter. The answer is yes, I will go. Because those people, they may have never heard of such a thing as grace. And how great it is for them, just as much as it is great for you. And the great thing about God's grace is that sometimes you don't even have to go out. Sometimes God brings those people to you. Like the knock on the door, it's not happening right now because of COVID, but eventually it'll happen again. Those guys with the black suits and the black ties and the nice little name tag, you know who I'm talking about, because they got that nice little building with the golden statue on top of it here in Carmel. They're going to knock on your door eventually. And those guys don't know God's grace the way that you do. But you do. And you get to share that with them because you may be the only person that shares God's grace with them. And the other thing too is that you don't even have to go out. You already are working with these people and living with these people who don't know God's grace. It could be your boss who is just an absolute jerk. Or your neighbor whose dog leaves little presents all over your yard every day and does nothing about it. Or maybe your friends or family members who have this political ideas that are way different from yours. And you think, I don't know if I can talk to them about Jesus. But they need God's grace just as much as we need God's grace. And at the end of our lives, when our time is done in the vineyard and we go and stand before the foreman, I'm not going to hold out my hand. I've just done the things that you've asked me to do, Lord.
But the foreman will take my hand and raise it up, and he will place into my hand, into your hand, the crown of life. So, my friends, stand back in awe and just marvel at the grace of God, at how unfair God is to you and to me, that he would not treat me as my sins deserve, but treat his son this way, and that his son is willing to do that. Stand back and marvel and stand in awe of how great the grace of God is for all people. God is not fair. Thank God. Amen.